Welcome to Leading the Evolution with Tanya Kunze. It's all about how successful people stay successful, no matter what life throws at them. How they balance business, personal and interpersonal, while staying positive and focused. Each episode formulates a story about how champions of industry have adapted, psychologically, physically and emotionally throughout their lives, and specifically to the new normal in 2020. Tanya is a neuroscience coach, author, and global keynote speaker. And in each episode, she investigates and digs into the skill set and methodologies her guests have applied successfully to be agile in business, medicine, and entrepreneurialism for you to practically adopt to your life.
Welcome to Leading the Evolution. I'm Tanya Kunze. My podcast is all about how successful people stay successful no matter what life throws at them. I have got the most fantastic champion of industry in studio with me today, and I'm going to hand over to her to introduce herself to you because she's really exciting.
Oh, thank you, Tanya. When you said staying on top of things, I really find that very positive. Thank you. My name is Beatrix. I'm the founder and owner of Beatrix Events, BTY Limited. We basically specialize in corporate events and then also weddings and lifestyle events, but corporate is our passion. I absolutely love brand advancement for clients and keeping their objective and budgets and briefs in mind, and then conceptualize events from the start right to the execution. So that is where our passion is. And obviously now with COVID, everything came to a screeching halt. But I think that is what I'm here for today. And yes, very excited about the opportunities and the future of the industry, although it's been quite difficult.
We share such a commonality. And why I got so excited about you is that we both in the public space, and we both work with stages and lots of people and community and connectedness, and it's all about events and about going into corporate and all of those aspects.
Yes.
And you were telling me as we walked in today about that fateful day in February. And I just want you to share that with the listeners. And I think what's important is for people to realize, A, they're not alone. B, we've gone through this. I went through the similar thing that you did. So
yes.
Tell me about that.
I think where the positivity came from for me was every entrepreneur has been through difficult times.
Yeah.
And this time I felt slightly better because I wasn't alone in this boat and this massive wave coming to me. So I felt there are other people that's going through exactly the same emotions, which is a cocktail of emotions. The one day you're angry and the next day you're frustrated and then you're sad. But all in all, I think the passion for the industry came through. And yes, that is not great. It is not a great situation, especially if you love working with people and you see the impact you have on people. And I'm quite a people pleaser, but in a positive way.
Yes.
I love making people happy, and that is why I absolutely love my job. But at the end of the day, it is how you are resilient and agile.
Yes.
And adapt to the situation, I think.
And that's what this podcast is all about. And you leaned into something quite interesting that I agree with, is that you don't know who's going to be a survivor and who's going to be a thriver.
Exactly.
And who's going to fail. And the thing is, and it's a magical thing, actually, that judgment has gone out the window.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, people would sort of walk very proudly with their
yes.
bank balance. You know, you must think, you think they're going to like have it tattooed on their forehead.
Yes.
And, you know, oh, you know, I've made it and I'm all wonderful. And then if someone wasn't making it, they would have this whole shame,
yes.
you know, around them. Like, oh.
Yes.
And now there's almost an empathy
absolutely.
For humanity, which has come through.
Absolutely. I believe that kindness needs to be a religion. And I felt that throughout, and that is why when you asked in your survey form that I had to complete before this podcast, when you said, what is your preferred social media? I said Instagram, because I feel people are so real on Instagram.
Yes.
There's no... people are raw, and that is what I appreciated. It's exactly like you said now. People has been absolutely kind and generous and so caring in this, in our industry especially. People will actually phone you and ask. A supplier or a client, all my clients phoned me, which has been lovely. Caring and really worrying about me as a person, and our industry. They ask me, what do you think? What is going to happen? Yes. Are you okay as a person? Oh. So that has been very heartwarming. It's been amazing, actually.
Oh, that's absolutely incredible. Mm. I must say, you know, as a coach, I've got thousands and thousands of people, and every day someone would just pop into my head. And then I would send them a message. I'm just checking in. Are you okay? Yeah. And how are you doing? And I must say there was a lot of, maybe because I'm the positivityqueen.com, but there was a lot of positive response to that. You know, people didn't really go into a lot of drama and all of that. They're trying to keep themselves up. Mm. And I think you've nailed it. I think it's because we're all in this boat together. And we are rowing as best we can.
And that boat is wobbly, but it is. But I feel it's more stable than it was a month or a month and a half ago. I think everybody was then, the morale was quite low, I think. Mm. Whereas I can already see people are really more positive and seeing a brighter future and trying to chase that future. And that is amazing.
Absolutely. You know, when I saw the post that Mark sent me about what you did for Father's Day, I really want you to elaborate on that, because I saw it and instantly I said, Mark, I want her details. This woman is coming onto my podcast because she's an inspiration for entrepreneurs out there. And you know, people think champions of industry have to be CEOs and, you know, and sure, they are. But champions of industry are entrepreneurs that find a way. And you found a way. Oh, and I love it. So tell me about
that.
Thank
you. I think the biggest thing for me right out when we were in lockdown, it was almost the first 3 weeks was holiday, honeymoon phase of lockdown. We all felt like this is just being romantic in your little home and a little holiday, really, in the middle of the year. But then I realized that this is going to take way longer. And even before that, I came up with the idea, how am I going to keep top of mind, and especially with corporates?
Yes.
Because, yes, there are virtual events, but I wanted to create something more creative than a virtual event. Mm. Not that I'm saying a virtual event is not creative.
I hear you. We're all finding
our way there. Please, don't kill me over that one. No. But I wanted something substantial, and I wanted to be able to create from the start right through to the end. And that is how I came up with the event in a box. So it is a customized, bespoke luxury item. It is one of its kind, and we put it together, and it's beautiful, and I love it. So for Father's Day, we launched last week Thursday, so right before Father's Day, and then we've sent the boxes through to a few influencers and a few clients to see what the response is from this item that we created. So it's literally a little event in a box, and you just put it together. Everything, we take the thinking out of it. And yeah, it worked like a charm, and it's been amazing. And I said to you before we started that I could not have asked for a better launch.
That's great.
The social media and the hype and the orders, and it's just been amazing.
Talk me through it. So let's hit the visual of it needs to come through to the listeners.
Okay, so we have seven elements in a box. So we have the little chef, we have the barman, the DJ, which is very ironic when I sent it through to Mark. I was like, oh my goodness, that is a tough one. So that is a tough act to follow. Then we have the pretty, which is obviously the decor. Then we have the party lips, which is the wardrobe or something that you can wear. The act, which is something that you can do at your little event. And lastly, it's the say cheese, so the photographer. So I'm not going to give away too much on how we put it together, but everything is, so you're not going to have a chef there, but it's literally a few instructions on how to do it, and there you go.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it's really put together very nicely, and we're very proud of it, and it's beautiful and bespoke and like all the fluff.
Stunning. It's amazing. So you could do it for birthdays, you could do it for anniversaries. Absolutely. Any event.
Any event. We have many corporate orders that's coming through, which has been really fantastic. So there's cycle meetings, there's sales conferences, brand activations, launches. And we put it together for these corporates and we deliver it to your door, and there you go.
Well, I'm launching my book soon, so I might get a few for my book launch.
Let's
you can start
do that.
Getting your head around that one. It's wonderful. So we talked about virtual events a little bit. And I personally have battled a little bit because I've done a few, and I'm all about energy.
Me too.
And, you know, when I stand in front of a group of people, there's that vibe that comes through.
That adrenaline.
Yes. And you feed off each other. You know, the audience reacts and you see facial expressions. And, you know, I was watching the Apple launch the other night, and the empty stadium was there. Yes. And it was brilliantly put together. But it just didn't have that magic, that energy. I mean, they really did a fantastic job based on what they had to work with. But there's nothing like people.
Nothing.
And, you know, I've done virtual events, and it's like pulling teeth. You know, you ask someone a question and they've got to put their mic on, and then it's a delay, and then there's a conversation.
Yes.
And, you know, you don't know who can hear you, if it's breaking up, if it's not breaking up, what their connectivity is like. And then you might glitch and you see yourself frozen in the oddest facial expression known to mankind. They're like, just change the picture quickly. So how have you found your virtual events? What has the journey been like for you?
I am exactly like you. I wish I had better advice on how to. It's been very tough for me as well. I'm also... I always say now, be careful what you wish for, because sometimes my clients would say, come and see me for a meeting, and then we'd literally chat for 5 minutes. Mm. And I drove 45 minutes to see them for 5 minutes. And then I thought, could they not just do this over the phone or mail? Now I regret that so much, because I will kill for a 5 minute meeting. So I've always been... people do business with people. And I love energy and feeding off people and feeding ideas off people. Even within my own team of creatives, I miss bouncing ideas and having a soundboard. Not a FaceTime soundboard, but a real soundboard.
Real one. Yes. Flesh and blood.
So, but there are fantastic ways in doing virtual events. Mm-hmm. The avatar solution now, where they literally scan your body and you walk through the space of an event, which is fantastic. If you have the budget, you can contact us. and there are polls. And so the new platforms are fantastic. And I'm not dissing any brand, but the brands that people currently use for just a meeting is not necessarily sufficient for an event of prestige and magnitude and impact.
Yeah.
So I know that a few of our clients said, now, why do I need an events planner now? But now I think
more
than
ever.
Because... previously, you could maybe put an event together if you had a bit of savvy and skill.
Yeah.
But now it is very technical. And to be a program director and think how you can navigate around a conference program, do breakaways, et cetera, you will need to be on top of it.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that your talent is going to shift and change. Because,
yes.
You know, you need people who... become you're almost going to get a whole new talent pool born out of this, someone that
Absolutely.
Can manage online to get the energy through.
Yes. And also, how do you get your brand out there?
Mm.
So you need to think about maybe a set design. There's no point in just doing an event without your brand being reinforced.
Wow. Okay. And it's a whole new world being born out there.
Absolutely.
And do you have kids?
No, I don't.
Okay. So I must say the one thing that a lot of the moms are dealing with, because I've had those conversations, is trying to juggle homeschooling and all these other things.
Wow.
That are...
Hats off to all of you guys. I salute you. You are the real hero.
It's not the easiest thing in the world. I can tell you that. And your kids become very, very, very independent very quickly because they realize they actually have to get on with it, you know.
Yes.
So do you think that socializing and events and celebrations are going to return to normal, or do you think there's going to be a transition to a new normal? What is your feeling?
I almost got into a bit of an argument the other day with someone that said we will have masks for eternity, and that is how we're going to do this now. I'm a strong believer, and maybe this is naive, that everything will return to how we got to know it, how we love it. I can't imagine that people will be able to distance forever. Like I said, we are social beings. Otherwise, we could have been robots. So maybe I am naive, but I believe it will return, and I'm excited for the day that it does. I can actually not wait to just wait in a queue for a drink at a bar.
Can you imagine?
At a pub.
Distant memory.
Oh my goodness. Or have a normal meal at my favorite restaurant or anything like that. So if I'm longing for that, I cannot imagine that the listeners aren't either.
Absolutely.
They're on the same page as me.
Well, it's actually, if you go back to the days when we started out before we had elaborate homes, I mean, we huddled together to not be eaten at night, you know,
exactly.
And we huddled together for warmth and survival and community.
Yes.
So it's so much part of our genealogy, of our early ancestry of being a team and being together.
Yes.
And the isolation, you know, the thing that I'm looking at is, and I'm certainly not a negative person, but it's just a reality, is coming out of this COVID, I think the fatalities are going to transcend the virus exponentially. You know, if you look at things like suicide.
Yes, absolutely.
Horrible truth, but people are just not coping being alone. It's not who we are. And I've seen some memes and things, and I don't know how accurate they are, but, you know, they're saying that every 100 years, some kind of virus has come through, and there's pictures of back in the day, people wearing scarves and masks. We came back to normal.
Yes.
The probability is, in my world, I tend to agree with you, at some point, please God, not in the too distant future, there'll be a vaccine and we'll go back to normal.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Please.
Yeah.
Please let that happen. We're going to put it out there.
I agree. Yeah.
What have you missed most during the pandemic and during this process? So let's go back to February, because that was quite a hard hitting impact that you said when, you know, your last event was in Feb and you just sort of saw it stop. You know, that moment.
Yes.
What happened?
It was crazy. My last event was on the 29th of February in Cape Town. And I flew back and there were still no active cases in South Africa. But someone at the conference that I organized said to me, "You must be so worried about COVID." And I was maybe being blunt, but I was like, why would I be worried? I have this fantastic 2020 plan. But the reality is, when I flew back, I realized that it's just a matter of time before it hits South Africa.
Yeah.
And it was, our industry came to a screeching halt. So your question, to answer your question, what did I miss the most, or what am I missing the most? I would say I really miss my job the absolute most, because I'm passionate about events and I freaking love people. So the first 3 weeks with my husband was fantastic and it was really amazing, and it was like a little honeymoon and it was very romantic, and we had like braais in the middle of the day and all these funny things. But at the end of the day, I'm really missing socializing, being creative on a large scale, like you said. I had a really fantastic pipeline for 2020, and it almost feels like all kinds of hope and dreams you had to park for a short while, and you had to come up with new hopes and dreams in a very weird environment.
Yes.
So, yes, I would say my job, I absolutely miss that the most. And then people, I miss people.
You miss people. How did you say, maybe we can just leave one or two, maybe three pillars if possible.
Yes.
As an entrepreneur, as a powerful entrepreneur, as a solid woman, how you managed to actually get your head around this like moment of when it dawned on you and it was like, oh boy.
Yes.
How did you find that mojo to get up, dust yourself off and carry on? What are your three things you leaned into?
So I think my motto in life is inhale passion.
Okay. Inhale passion. Yes. I like that.
I love that.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a tattoo about on that. But I absolutely love inhale passion. So I think passion was the driving force for me. Once you lose the passion, there's no purpose. Mm-hmm. And once there's no purpose, I mean, what are we doing here? So passion was the driving force for me. Even with this Event in a Box, it was literally the little push I needed. Get up and going. The other thing I do believe in is a routine. I'm quite strict with myself. I stuck to a routine pretty much like a work routine. And I kept myself busy with positive things. And then the other thing is, like I said, I absolutely love people.
Yes.
So, yes, I didn't get to work with people like I used to. But I believe I was there for a majority of my friends that went through a really rough time, friends and family. And I became a pillar for them, being positive and listen. I think I was just listening. I think that is what most people wanted in this. They didn't need advice because, I mean, I'm no guru in COVID, let me tell you that. And I couldn't give them advice.
Yeah.
But I think that was for me my way of working with people almost. And it was really fantastic. So I think those three.
That's powerful.
And yours, if I'm asked?
No, you know, I think for me, I would agree with you, passion, definitely. And I sat down. So I had my moment where it was, I'd come back from an event and I was due on the Monday to do a 5-day. Then I had another 5-day, then a 3-day, and then a couple in between that. I mean, it was literally, I was booked for 3 months.
I know.
And then it was like watching dominoes, just sort of, you know, tipping over. Yeah. And I've got a very can-do attitude. I thought, okay, that's fine. And I realized I needed to do something in that moment. So I didn't even have like the honeymoon. I kind of went straight in and I was like, okay, how do I turn this around? And I thought, right. So firstly, I was very guided to write my third book because that was just
fantastic.
Burning.
Well done.
Thank you. And it's called The Power of Positivity. So it's about being positive.
Positive, yeah.
And so that was like already like a huge focus. And I thought, okay, so that's going to take a while to generate income. What else is going to generate income and still be passion? So storyboard. Created storyboard. Action storyboard.
Well done.
Stayed really positive and just trusted and believed that there's a way through this. Mm. You know, so really just dug deep into that space. And just thought, you know, if I create things, then I'm going to take my whole business online. And that's what I did.
Fantastic.
So it's there. Well it's done. Online. That's why you're sitting here.
I think I'm also not a Debbie Downer. I literally had one day where I felt quite emotional. And I realized that is a lonely place. I don't want to be there. When I made that mind shift and that I couldn't. I can't be there.
Good.
I just went on and got on with it, which has been good for me.
Absolutely. What I wanted to maybe chat with you, so maybe not like question answer, but more of a conversation, is I know how many people have been retrenched through the corporates that I work with because they phone me and they ask for advice and guidance. And
I can imagine.
I've even coached some people through retrenchment. And it's quite hard hitting because what happens is the psychology of an employed person is they feel a sense of security, which in truth is a false sense of security.
Yes.
And I mean, I'll often sing this from the rooftops. If you don't know how to sell, you battle to be an entrepreneur because eventually the funding runs out. So the psychology behind most people now saying, okay, I've been retrenched, I've got to feed a family, I now need to become an entrepreneur, where we're lucky that we've got a marketing or selling capability.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think on some level we both know we'll never starve because of it. But if you don't have that and you're not a self-starter and you're someone that needs a manager or a leader to listen to and to follow, I mean, how can we advise people that are sitting in a situation, they've got families, they are not receiving income from anywhere, and they need to become an entrepreneur overnight? Where do they start?
Well, for me, it was easy back in the day, because also I worked in corporate before I took the plunge of going the entrepreneurial route. But I did what I love.
Yes. Okay, so maybe that's pillar number one.
I think if you want to start a business, you need to do something that you absolutely love. Mm-hmm. You want to wake up and do it. Sunday evenings when Carte Blanche song is on, you can't have the Monday blues, Sunday blues, that whole thing. You need to be on it and be actually excited about your Monday morning that lies ahead. So I would say you need to love your job.
Yeah.
Whatever you start, you need to be knowledgeable. To start something now where there are a wealth of people that's got the same or more knowledge as you is going to be very tricky.
Yeah.
So I would say you need to be knowledgeable.
And so let's lean into those, because being knowledgeable, so if it's passion.
Yes.
The probability is you've investigated it.
Absolutely.
So I remember looking at my shelf, and mine's like all sort of self-help books and all of that kind of thing, because it's just what I love, and psychology and neuroscience and, you know, all of that stuff. And so obviously that was where I was going to go, because that's what any spare moment I was busy investigating something to do with the brain or some element.
Yeah.
And the other passion that I have is developing people. So it was an easy one for me to climb into. But I think people have a feeling that they need to be funded in order to start a business.
Yeah.
And that's a commonality. And today you may be fortunate, but the probability is you're not going to get a funding angel, coming out of the woodwork.
No.
So how would you envisage, or how would you help people say, listen, just start?
So funny enough, on the funding, sometimes you actually don't need funding to get the start, because that will give you the guts to actually just go and do it. I literally started my company, and I don't know if I'm allowed to,
but
it's super small. I started my company with 20,000 rand, and I decided I'm going to do a website. It's not a lot of money. You don't need a lot of money for that. And then search engine optimization, so the online people can click, they can actually, they have my details and beautiful pictures of what I've done in the past, etc., so they can actually see the product. But you don't need funding. You actually just need the guts and the grit.
Yes. I am so glad you said that,
because grit and guts and the passion that will get you through it.
Absolutely,
I believe it will give you the power. To actually be better than your competitor. 100%.
And you know, I look at my parents. I'm so glad you answered that. I was hoping you would. I had no idea that you would, but I was hoping it would come through, because people need to realize that people hold money in such a godly, sort of domain. I love money. I got nothing against it, and I have no money blocks. Absolutely. I got rid of those. But you know, people sort of think, oh, well, if I don't have money, I can't start.
No.
So of course you can start. And you can, you know, even if it's to start baking cakes or planting seeds or whatever it is that you're going to be doing, or using toilet rolls, because there's so many of them around. Toilet roll art. You know, there's something that you can do, and beading, and I don't know. I mean, I can think of a million things that you could use your hands for. But even if it's just sharing your IP or sharing your enthusiasm or your encouragement, or writing a book.
Yes.
On a piece of paper with a pen. You know, start there. Start doing something. It could be a children's book that you illustrate. There's a million things people can do if it leans into their passion. And if they do that without the funding, they'll learn how to make the money, and that's sustainable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that as well. It is sustainable then. Mm. If you do it with passion and if you are not worried about where to get money and how to, it will come naturally.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
It is. And interestingly enough, it's actually, there are apparently, and I'm sure there are a lot more, 24 money blocks. So when we've done workshops, when we've worked through these things, and in America, there seems to be this magic number of 24 money blocks. Mm. And a lot of these are just learned behaviors and taught behaviors from childhood going all the way through. And a lot of people have them. Mm. They feel like they don't have worth if they don't have this massive bank account backing them. But the most beautiful people that are remembered forever and ever, amen, who are they?
Yeah.
People that didn't necessarily have
money. Yeah.
So exactly. So there's the legacy right there. So you can have legacy like a Mother Teresa.
Mm, I was about to say.
Oh, really? Yeah. You know, and people that have gone through hardships, and we grow through hardships. And, you know, unfortunately, as a species, we were taught, you know, put your hand on the hot plate, get burned, don't do it again. But we were learned through pain. We learned to grow and develop through pain.
Yes.
Get a hiding, emotional pain, whatever it might be. I don't know anybody who had a life-altering revelation sipping a cocktail on the beach. You know, having their best life. It's like, oh, no, too tired to think about anything right now. It's when you've gone through the drama. So I think those are things that are going to emerge out of this time as well.
Yes. You know,
so from the entrepreneurial space, but also from that emotional space where, hold on a second, I've actually got this.
Mm.
You know?
Very, very true. Very true. And I also think that, so my husband always says, oh, I paid school fees for a mistake you made in business, because he's also an entrepreneur.
Oh, what's he do?
He is in property development, residential, high end.
Nice.
And I think you will pay less school fees and be more mindful to not pay school fees if you don't start with money.
I like
that.
If
you don't start with money, you will be very conservative.
Yeah.
But you'll be gutsy.
Yes.
If that makes
sense.
It you'll be conservative in how you spend your money.
Spend wisely.
Wisely.
Yes.
Yes.
There we go.
Absolutely.
I completely agree. So I'm actually going to end on that pearl of wisdom, because I normally ask for a pearl of wisdom, but I think it's a beautiful one. It's so true, because it's saying it's not giving power to the money. It's actually giving power to you. And it's saying, I can do this.
And your act that you're going to do.
Exactly. Great. Well, if you loved what Beatrix was saying and you want to have a look at her incredible new business, you can see her on Instagram at Beatrix_events. And I'm sure you're going to reach out to her for your next exciting event that you have in this lockdown time to just brighten your day. So Beatrix, thank you for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. This was really so much fun.
Such a pleasure.